You're listening to the Qalam Institute podcast series, Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussein Kamani. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Qalam Institute.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. Khususan ala sayyidi rusuli wa khatam al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya amma ba'd. Yesterday we talked about the Battle of Badr that took place on the 17th of Ramadan, as yesterday was also the 17th of Ramadan. And I mentioned yesterday that we would talk about five major battles that took place in the month of Ramadan. The second great battle that I wanted to talk about, which wasn't really a battle but a conquest that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave at the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was Fath Makkah, the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. Now, in order to understand the importance of the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, we have to briefly understand the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Before Ibrahim alayhi salam dropped off his wife Hajar, not Hajara, that's a Pakistani Indian thing, okay? Before Ibrahim alayhi salam dropped off his wife Hajar and his son Ismail alayhi salam to this barren land of Makkah Mukarramah, there was nothing there. It was kind of like just another empty land. That's it. People would walk past there and that was the end of it. Then the great miracle of Ismail alayhi salam took place where he kicked the ground and water gushed out of there. People then found water there, so now it became an ideal stopover for travelers moving from Yemen up north. So now the Yemen travelers, they begin to move there and settle in because there was water there now. And now that they settled there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He used the people of Makkah Mukarramah, the new settlers there, and in particular, Allah Azza wa Jal used Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son Ismail alayhi salam to build the Kaaba there. And the Kaaba from that point, Kaaba was built from Adam alayhi salam's time, and according to some narrations, even before that. But from the point where Ibrahim alayhi salam built the Kaaba, once again rebuilt the Kaaba, if you wish, we can say, now this became a spiritual PowerPoint for the world. And it was always a source of guidance for people. Now, as time went on, this very same Kaaba, which was always a symbol of monotheism and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was polluted with idols. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with many missions. And one of the missions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life was to once again purify the Kaaba and return the religion back to where Ibrahim alayhi salam set its foundation many, many years ago. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tried very hard for 13 years after prophethood, from the age of 40 to 53, but it just wasn't happening. The people of Makkah Mukarramah had sealed their minds off, sealed their eyes off, sealed their ears off, and they just weren't taking anything. They weren't buying it. So now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the instruction of Allah, he migrated to Madinah Munawwarah. When he was leaving the city of Makkah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very sad. And the reason why he was sad was because Makkah Mukarramah held all of his memories there. His wife Khadija radiallahu anha was buried there. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had children that were also buried in Makkah Mukarramah. His forefathers were buried in Makkah Mukarramah. His place where he was born was in Makkah Mukarramah. The beloved house of Allah, the Kaaba, was in Makkah Mukarramah. The Kaaba became like a very close friend of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now he had to leave this friend of his, the Kaaba. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaving, he was in tears and he was very sad. And Allah Azza wa Jal, the narration mentions, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaving, he kept turning around on his animal and looking back at the Kaaba, and he kept crying. And he kept saying that, "I wouldn't have left you had your people not forced me out of Makkah Mukarramah." And then Allah Azza wa Jal revealed an ayah of the Qur'an. In this ayah of the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a promise to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what was the promise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah Azza wa Jal made to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah promises one day you're going to return back very soon. Very soon you're going to return back. And the scholars are saying, when a person goes to Makkah Mukarramah for Umrah or Hajj, after when you're leaving Makkah, if you read this very same dua, Allah will return you back inshallah very soon. And what is that dua? It's an ayah of the Qur'an. إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُكَ إِلَى مَعَادٍ. That indeed the one who has ordained the Qur'an upon you, he will return you back to your origin very, very soon. Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to return you back. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moves on to Madinah Munawwarah. In Madinah Munawwarah, there were three attacks made against the Muslims. How many attacks? Three. The first year when the Muslims got there, they settled down. How many years were the Muslims in Medina? Ten. I mean, not the Muslims. How long did the Prophet ﷺ live in Medina Munawwara? 10 years. The first year when they arrived there, the Prophet ﷺ was settling in. So there was no battle that took place. The first major battle that took place, it took place in which year? Second year. It was called the Battle of Badr. When the Kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah lost, they couldn't take it. They came the next year for round two. That battle was called the Battle of Uhud. It was the third year after migration. The Muslims took some, you know, many Sahaba were martyred, and it was a very tough battle for them. We won't actually call it a defeat because Allah Azza wa Jalla always gives victory to those who believe in Him. So you can say, you know, the Muslims lost quite a few Sahaba, and Hamza radiallahu anhu was also one of them who was martyred in that battle, along with many great Sahaba. The fourth year after migration, they took a break. Because the Battle of Badr and the Battle of Uhud took place, both sides had lost quite a few people, so the fourth year they took a break. The fifth year, the people of Makkah Mukarramah came full throttle. And they came with everything. And this was called the Battle of Ahzab, the Battle of the Confederates. Or also known as, it's also known by the name of the tactic the Muslims played during this battle. The Battle of the Trenches, the Battle of Khandaq. Which year did this take place in? The fifth year. Allah Azza wa Jal miraculously saved the Muslims, as we read in the Tarawih prayer, Surah Ahzab. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He blew off the enemy with a wind and they were gone. They couldn't stand a chance. The sixth year, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a dream. And he saw a dream that he was performing Umrah. So he said to the Sahaba, let's go perform Umrah. They said, of course, it's been 5-6 years since we've gone to Makkah. Let's all go. So they all got ready together and they headed towards Makkah Mukarramah. When they arrived at a place called Hudaybiyah, very brief this is, okay? When they arrived at a place called Hudaybiyah, they realized that the people of Makkah Mukarramah were not letting them in. And finally, they had an agreement called the Sulh of Hudaybiyah, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And in this treaty, the Muslims, it seemed as if they were at loss. It seemed as if they were at loss. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory through this treaty. How is that? That's a very long discussion. Maybe we can have that another time. But one of the clauses of the treaty is very important for us to understand before we move on to the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. Because this is the build-up to the conquest. There was a treaty that anyone who has a half, anyone that has an association or an agreement with the Muslims will not betray them. Or they will not help them, sorry. The Muslims will not help them in any battle. Basically what they were saying is that, and anyone who the kuffar have treaty with, the mushrikeen, they will not help them either. So what they wanted basically was that the Muslims and the kuffar were saying, we fought enough, let's call peace now. Let's call quits, no more fighting. We fought a lot, let's just leave it now. So that was basically the core of the treaty. That no more fighting. So they set sides. Now there were two tribes, one called Banu Khuza'ah, the other one was called Banu Bakr. Banu Bakr, they were very close friends with the Quraysh. They had half of the Quraysh, they were Halif of the Quraysh. Banu Khuza'ah were very close to the Muslims in Medina Munawwara. Now, these two tribes, they got into a fight. They had a little battle. Now according to the treaty, the Muslims couldn't help Banu Khuza'ah, the Quraysh couldn't help Banu Bakr. They couldn't help them because that was a treaty. But what happened was, some people from the Quraysh, they broke the treaty, they joined Banu Bakr, and they killed many people from Banu Khuza'ah. These people from Banu Khuza'ah came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the eighth year after migration. It was the month of Ramadan, before Ramadan. And they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, O Messenger of Allah, the Quraysh broke their part of the treaty, and we want you to assist us and take revenge. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, be patient, Allah is going to open the doors very soon now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave permission to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to now march towards Makkah Mukarramah because they broke the treaty. The Muslims didn't break the treaty. Who broke it? They broke it. So now, it was the month of Ramadan, and the Prophet, actually before we get to the conquest, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made intention to march towards Makkah Mukarramah. But there were two things. The first thing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to march on them in such a manner, with such strength, that they wouldn't be able to fight back. The second thing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not want to violate the sanctity of Makkah Mukarramah, therefore he did not want any war in Makkah Mukarramah at all. He just wanted them to surrender. And the best way for them to surrender, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to do two things. The first thing was, he had to catch them off guard. What was the first thing? Catch them off guard. The second thing was, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first thing, he had to catch them off guard on when he was going to attack. The second thing, he had to catch them off guard with the number of people he was going to attack with. When the people of Makkah Mukarramah, they had no idea that this was going to happen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told the Sahaba, we are preparing an army, but shh. No one knows. No one should know outside Medina what's happening. Now one Sahabi, he sent a letter to the people of Makkah Mukarramah informing them that the Muslim army was coming in their direction. His name was Hatib bin Abi Balda'a. The Prophet ﷺ was informed by Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet ﷺ called Ali radiallahu anhu and he said, there's a lady who's traveling with a letter towards Makkah, you have to go and stop her. Because if that letter reaches Makkah, they're going to find out. And this will not be a sneak attack anymore then. We won't be able to just walk in victory. There's going to be a battle, and I don't want a battle in Makkah. So now, Ali radiallahu anhu, he put the coordinates in that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him. He put it inside his GPS and arrived directly where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him. When he came there, he saw the lady was there. He said to this lady, where's that letter? She said, which letter? He said to her, look, don't play games with me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave me your location. You were right here. I didn't have to search for you there, here, nowhere. I just came directly here because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me. He also told me you have a letter you're taking to Makkah. So either you show it to me or we search you from head to toe. And I mean, we'll search you. So this lady, when she saw Ali radiallahu anhu's conviction, she opened her hair up and somewhere inside her dreadlocks or somewhere inside her hair, locked inside, she had a paper. Ali radiallahu anhu brought the paper back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he read the letter, he called Hatib. And he said, Hatib, why did you do this? Why did you send a letter to the people of Makkah telling them that we were coming in their direction? He said, O Messenger of Allah, I know that once Allah promises you something, Allah gives it to you. Allah promised you victory over Makkah. I had no doubt that Allah was going to give you victory. The only thing I thought was that if I gave them a letter, they would take care of my family that's still in Makkah Mukarram and hasn't migrated yet until we conquer. They will look after my family because my family is struggling in Makkah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi, Umar radiallahu anhu was there. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I will destroy this hypocrite. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not call him a hypocrite. إِنَّهُ قَدْ شَهِدَ بَدْر. The Prophet ﷺ said, he's not a hypocrite because he participated in the battle of Badr. And we talked about yesterday, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. The Sahaba who participated in Badr are the real believers. So then the Prophet ﷺ, he pardoned Hatib bin Abi Balda'a radiallahu anhu. And verses are revealed in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَخُونُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَتَخُونُوا أَمَانَاتِكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ إنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة والله وعلموا أنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة وأن الله عند وجه العظيم. These verses are there in the Quran regarding this incident. Now anyway, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the month of Ramadan now, he marches. And he marches with such a large army that the people of Arabia had never seen one community produce so many soldiers. How many soldiers did they put together? They put together 10,000 Sahaba. How many? They had never seen a number like that before. And these 10,000 Sahaba, they marched and marched and marched silently until they came outside Makkah Mukarramah. Now, on the way on the journey, one very interesting incident took place. What happened was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized that they were very close to their destination. And very soon, possibly, there could be battle. And the victory in Makkah Mukarramah was very important strategically for the Muslims as well, and also a part of the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at one point when the Sahaba settled down, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba, who is fasting today? It was the month of Ramadan. So many Sahaba said, we're fasting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we should not fast. Because tomorrow we have, this journey is very important. And we have to be focused, we need to be nourished, we need to be on our game. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered for a bowl of water, and he drank himself. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that if he drank, then they were also going to drink. And the Sahaba, then they joined the Prophet ﷺ, they drank, and they continued on with the battle. Now this is very important because sometimes, as leaders, the community leaders, sometimes the community thinks, if our imams are lenient, then what hope do we have in the community? But at times, the imam needs to be lenient to show the lenient pathway for the community. You guys understand that? The Prophet ﷺ could have said to them, you guys break your fast, I'm not going to break my fast. If he said that, would the Sahaba have broken their fast? Yes or no? Absolutely not. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took that pathway of leniency first himself to show the Sahaba that you should also do it in following your imam. Now these Sahaba, they all gathered outside Makkah Mukarramah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba, every camp should have their own little fire. They had their own little fires. Everyone was settled down. And Abu Sufyan, who was one of the leaders of Makkah Mukarramah and hadn't accepted Islam at this point, he came out for a walk with two of his buddies, Budayl and Hakim. Budayl bin Waraqa and Hakim bin Hizam. Three of them, they went for a walk. When they climbed the mountain, they were just talking, hey, what's happening? Oh my God! What's this? and they saw 10,000 people sitting there at nighttime. They're like, what is this here? We don't even know what's happening, and where do these people come from? So right when they turned around to go and tell their people, the Sahaba caught them. They said, shh, don't say anything. They tied them up, and they brought them to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave the da'wah of Islam to the three. Budayl and Hakim, they accepted Islam. Abu Sufyan was a little iffy, he wasn't sure. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, Abu Sufyan, has a time not come that a wise person like you now accepts Islam? So he said, La ilaha illallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Agibol, what's next? Muhammad Rasulullah, he said, I believe in Allah, but I'm not sure about your prophethood yet. Because the thing was, as soon as he accepted the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now that means in Makkah Mukarramah, his clan was inferior to the clan of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's a battle his forefathers were fighting for generations. So he said, I know about La ilaha illallah, I'm not too sure about Muhammad Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, think about it, tomorrow conquering Makkah. You just think about it. Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, came to Abu Sufyan and he said to him, brother, relax. Say Muhammad Rasulullah. Abu Sufyan then said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. The next morning, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to the Sahaba, there will be two groups. One will attack from the north, the other will attack from the south of Makkah. Two directions. Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu was put in charge of half of the army that was going to attack from north. Khalid bin Walid was made in charge of the other half of the army that attacked from the south. Now, the people of Makkah Mukarramah were enjoying their day when all of a sudden 10,000 people just walked in their city. And when they walked in their city, they didn't know where to turn because they couldn't go up, they couldn't go down, they couldn't go right, left, surrounded by mountains. Before they knew it, the Sahaba had walked inside Makkah Mukarramah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba, that whoever enters into the house of Abu Sufyan, we give him sanctity. We give that person aman. Whoever goes into the house of Abu Sufyan, that person has been given safety. Now that statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very powerful because now the people of Makkah Mukarramah knew by that announcement that Abu Sufyan has already accepted Islam. You understand? And when they thought if Abu Sufyan's accepted Islam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made his home safe base, then who are we? They all walked inside the house of Abu Sufyan and one by one, everyone, they dropped their arms down and they took their peace. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came, finally, when he walked into Makkah Mukarramah, he was holding the rope of his camel and he lowered his head where his head was just about touching the rope in humbleness because he was honored that Allah had given him such a beautiful rank that today he entered into Makkah Mukarramah. The city he was born in, just another child of the city. The city he was kicked out from. The city he was tortured in. The city he can still hear the Sahaba screaming as they were being whipped. And today now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is entering that very same city as a Fatih. Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. And he is lowering his head like this and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is walking in. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is walking in, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to the Kaaba. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he walks around the Kaaba. And as he's walking around the Kaaba, he's looking at it and he's carrying his staff and he sees the different idols there and he's breaking them one by one. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while he's breaking these idols, he's reading the verse of the Quran, وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُقًا. That the truth has come now and falsehood must leave. You have to go. And he's destroying the batil as he's walking along the Kaaba and he's purifying it. And after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam purifies the Kaaba, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he performs his tawaf, a long-awaited tawaf. And after the tawaf is over, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives a very powerful speech. A very powerful speech. And in that speech, the people were all gathered there. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, you know, La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, sadaqa wa'da, wa nasara abda, wa hazam al-ahzaba wahda. That was his khutbah, how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started off. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to the people that today onwards, just a rough summary of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying. He says that today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken away from you the traces of jahiliyyah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken away from you the ignorance that your forefathers had instilled inside you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know that Allah azza wa jal has created every one of you from Adam alayhi salam. You're all equal. Wal Adam min turab. And Adam alayhi salam was created from soil. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam read the ayah of the Quran, Ya ayyuha an-nas inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu in akramakum 'inda Allahi atqakum innallaha 'alimun khabir. right? Where Allah talks about ranks between the tribes and communities. Allah made us all so we get to know each other, not so we hate each other. No one has superiority over another person unless you defeat them in your taqwa, unless you supersede them in your piety. After this was over, all the captives, all the people of Makkah Mukarramah were brought in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This person did this, this person did that, this person killed this person. All of them were gathered there. They were all criminals. And as they were all standing there, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, "Do you know what I'm going to do to you?" And they said that you are an honorable brother, the son of an honorable brother. Ibn Akhin Kareem. You're an honorable person, the son of an honorable person. We have high hopes in you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I will say to you what Yusuf alayhi salam said to his brothers, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm, that today you have all been pardoned." Allahu Akbar. Imagine what kind of heart you have to have. If someone punched you in the face, would you be able to forgive that person so easily? If someone said two words bad to you, would we be able to forgive that person? If someone took our money and didn't give it back, would we be able to forgive that person? Yes or no? We can't. And here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is forgiving everything they did. La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. You're all pardoned. Right? And that shows the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, Iqbal, Azim Iqbal, not Allama Iqbal. This is another Iqbal from Pakistan. He's a very famous poet. He said something very beautiful. He said, Jo aasi ko kamli mein apni chupale, jo dushman ko bhi zakhm kha kar dua de, usse aur kya naam dega zamana, wo rahmat nahi hai to phir aur kya hai. He said, Jo aasi ko kamli mein apni chupale, the one who gives heed to the sinner inside his sheet, jo dushman ko bhi zakhm kha kar dua de, the one who prays for the enemy after the enemy wounded him, usse aur kya naam dega zamana, what else will history call such a person? If he isn't mercy, then please tell us, what is the definition of mercy? So this was the beautiful conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. There are so many more incidents, but very briefly for you guys, so we can remember and learn once again from a great incident that took place in Islamic history. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when standing in front of the Kaaba, he then said to the Sahaba, "Ana da'watu Abi Ibrahim." That me standing here today is actually the result of the dua made by Ibrahim alayhi salam. And what was that dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam? When Ibrahim alayhi salam built that very same Kaaba hundreds of years ago, him and his son Ismail were standing next to it, and no one was there. And Ibrahim alayhi salam raised his hands and he made dua, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Oh Allah, accept from us. And then he said, Oh Allah, I have one prayer. That from this community, I want you to send a very good messenger. رَبَّنَا وَبَعْثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. And the only messenger that was born to the city of the Kaaba was Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling the Sahaba, I am actually the result of the dua of my father Ibrahim alayhi salam. So it all links back to the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Such a beautiful story. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and ability to understand the beautiful lessons that we learned from the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us victory to the difficulties that we face in our times as well. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.